Hello, Internet. Welcome to episode 106 of the Assorted Calibers podcast. The Second Amendment podcast is a little bit for everyone. I'm Weird Beard, and with me as always is my very sleepy hostess, Aaron Paulette. How are you doing, Aaron?
I am Aaron Paulette, and I am not here of my own free will. I am being held hostage by the madman known as Weird Beard. Please send an armed team to rescue me if possible and avenge me if necessary.
Okay.
I'm here under protest, everybody. I've come back from a three-day convention, and I've spent 8 hours on the road, and I told Weird I probably would be pretty fried, and could we record it on Tuesday? And he said, sure. And then I get in, and he's like, hey, you want to record? And I'm like, what about Tuesday? Well, Tuesday I'm recording Handgun Radio, and it's like, but you record on Sundays. Well, we couldn't, so we had to do it. It's like, fine, I'm here on... Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
That's my...
So I'm here under protest, but I'm here. So let's do this.
All right.
Because I love each and every one of our listeners.
How was the convention, Aaron? Did you have a good time?
I had a good time.
Did you get minimal amount of sleep because it's a convention?
Actually, I got a pretty good amount of sleep. Well, I mean, I thought you said we were going to save this for the mag dump, but one of the nice things about a convention being organized by a bunch of night owls is that nothing started before 10 in the morning. Glorious.
Oh, that's awesome. For you.
Yeah.
For me, I would be bored for half the day.
Yeah. Well, you know, not my problem. Well,
I'm glad you had a good convention, and we're gonna have the whole gang on for the next ACP mag dump, so we'll save a lot of that for that, but I thought we'd just give a little bit for the people that that aren't subscribers to the show.
And if you aren't subscribers, you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. There's lots of bonus content. I think it's well worth the money.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
I mean, I don't want to overcharge people. But the theme of this week, again, is the whole world has lost its damn mind. It just keeps being different levels of lost its damn mind. Ugh. Mm-hmm. So where to start?
Shall we start with SCOTUS?
Yeah. So I'm here at my own free will, but I might be a little bit inebriated because I didn't hear about it until about 11:30 this morning. But at 9:30 this morning, the Supreme Court of the United States announced that they had evaluated all of the Second Amendment case, a number of other cases as well, but this is a Second Amendment podcast, and they dismissed all of them. And essentially, this Supreme Court session, as far as I know, there will be no cases heard at all pertaining to the Second Amendment. And what got me the hardest of all was the one that directly impacts me and the one that I actually think is one of the more blatant of all of them. Certainly, California's micro-stamping bill is right up there, where stating that all guns must have this proprietary copyrighted technology applied to their guns or they can't be sold. And I believe also there's stipulations in the law that states that the technology as it is right now is not good enough to comply with the law. So essentially, you need to have this technology that doesn't exist to comply with the law. So that's pretty egregious and gross. But the one that got me was Warman versus Healy was one of the cases that shot down. And essentially, because they have declined to hear it at the United States Supreme Court, that means that the finding from the Massachusetts Supreme Court, which is egregious. I actually wish every time I look it up on Google, it's always just the U.S. Supreme Court hearing of it. I'm sure someone can dig up the actual Massachusetts finding, but essentially it kicked down to that, and that is true. So Mara Healy was declared victorious in Massachusetts, which is quite terrifying for me because according to her, I'm a felon, and I am sitting on at least 15 years in Massachusetts prison right now All they got to do is come by and pick me up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... So for people who don't remember, and Weird, I'm sure you will correct me if I get this wrong, but Mara basically said, all of you AR gun owners, you're all breaking the law for reasons, but I, in my unlimited generosity, will decline to prosecute most of you because the AR-15 has evil features, and this is in a state that still has an assault weapons ban. And people said, but Mara, what features are illegal? And she said, I'm not telling you! And, you know, you would think that the justices of the Supreme Court would say that this is unequal application of the law and is unfair and perhaps wicked, and they would smite her for this. But
I would go, I would even go at a prideful angle is that this is also a direct violation of the Heller versus DC and McDonald versus City of Chicago that stated that firearms in common use cannot be restricted and cannot be banned from possession. They are protected under the Second Amendment. And can we think of something more common use than the AR-15 or the Glock 17, the Glock 19, guns that are restricted per Massachusetts law? And of course, also, as I say about the I am sitting here a felon, is that she's the attorney general. No law was passed. Essentially, Mara Healey said that when I own an FAL, it's a Massachusetts compliant FAL. I say in scare quotes because when I bought the firearm ages ago, it was Massachusetts compliant per all understanding of the law. Mara Healey has said, no, that's wrong. And so not only is she declaring that guns like the AR-15 are illegal in the state of Massachusetts, but stating that they have always been illegal in the state of Massachusetts since 1994. And so per her declarement, actually Steve posted on his Facebook page, a California compliant AR with like wood furniture that looked really, really cool. And I pointed out the fact that that's illegal in Massachusetts because there's no evil. It's not even evil features anymore. Now it is parts compatibility, and she won't even stay. If your gun is semi-auto and has a detachable magazine and is completely unique and interesting, but it happens to have, say, an AR-15 extractor, or it takes an AR-15 pistol grip, then that is a crime and that is illegal. And it's an assault weapon, and it is per the view of the law, an AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the fact that this case, and again, all the other cases, too. I mean, this is it was a wide scope of cases. And again, I'm hurting right now, and I can understand how the people of California and New Jersey and I can't remember if Maryland was in there. It was so many cases. It was like 11 cases. And all of them got declined. And
yeah.
my heart goes out to all you guys. And I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I mean, I came down here a little bit late for the show because I'm discussing it with my wife and it did not go well. And so we will see what goes on.
Hang on. You said discussing it with your wife didn't go well? Like you were fighting over this?
Yes. I don't want to get into it, but. I'm not having a good day, Aaron.
Okay. I wasn't prying for details. Nope. I just wanted to make sure I understood you. Yeah. I'm really sorry to hear that. Yeah. Can I give you a little bit of good news?
I would love a little bit of good news, Aaron.
Okay, so the shining flower spurting from this pile of turd is that SCOTUS did make a good ruling on Monday, today, and they said that civil rights law protects gay and transgender people from workplace discrimination.
That is awesome.
And yeah, I mean, until today, it was legal in more than half the states to fire people simply for being gay, bisexual, or transgender. Mm-hmm. And I was honestly surprised to discover that. I thought that it was only a handful of states, but over 25. And so that's a good decision. I wish that they had made other good decisions, but there's at least that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that is great. I mean, freedom is freedom, and you shouldn't have to pick and choose what state you live in if your sexual orientation is different than hetero. And it's just horrible on that. And unfortunately, I'm in the situation of possibly talking about changing the state that I live in because I own firearms. And
okay. That explains some things. Yeah, I will confess that I really haven't read anything on these because I've been on the road since like 9:30 or 10, and I didn't want to eat up my data plan. So I didn't really read about the dissenting opinion, why they denied cert, but here's what I've heard. Okay, so there are, correct me if I'm wrong, there are 9 judges in the Supreme Court, correct?
Allegedly.
Oh, right. I know that Ginsburg is sort of the Heisenberg judge at this point. We don't know if she's alive or dead. But there are allegedly 9 judges, and we know that there are 4 of them that are pro-gun.
Allegedly.
Well, okay. I'm just going by what little I read. And, okay, I actually don't know who voted for what. I could be wrong. I don't think that it was necessarily a case of the 4 allegedly pro-gun people voted for cert and the 5 allegedly anti-gun voted against it. I think I heard that they lost cert by more than that. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And so what this means is that the pro-gun people had little to no confidence that Judge Roberts, who is the swing vote, would be pro-gun. And so they decided it would be safer to just nix those cases rather than have them come before SCOTUS and have a ruling that would hurt the Second Amendment. And that is the least cynical and most favorable interpretation of what happened.
I have read some, but I must say that I'm very emotional about this right now. And it's a very big deal for me personally. And so I have read a bit. But I have not extensively read into all of this, and I have not seen specifically in black and white how they voted on each of the cases. I have read on several cases the names of Clarence Thomas and Brett Kavanaugh come up repeatedly for people that have been speaking out for these cases to be heard. Mm-hmm. But I have not heard on which one of the, I've heard nothing about the quote unquote anti-gun judges. I mean, I'm not going to, for all we know, any one of them could turn around and say that, no, this is a horrible misinterpretation of the law. But the judges that we would expect to be anti-gun, I've not read an ounce of a bit of their names being mentioned, and so it's all up in the air on how this went down.
Yeah, the only judge that I have heard that essentially said, "Oh, come on," was Clarence Thomas. Mm-hmm. There might have been another, but I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, Clarence Thomas has really taken up the mantle of Tony Scalia. For the most vocal Second Amendment justice.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, again, I've heard a lot from Kavanaugh as well. So he has been definitely speaking out for that. And it's upsetting to me, both on grounds of, as I was explaining to my wife, she's getting upset of the, why are you talking about us uprooting our life and everything that we have and everything we've built here in Massachusetts for essentially speculation? And I'm like, because this has never happened before, as far as I know. Maybe as far as I could speculate, it might have happened before in like Reconstruction South or the Old West, where someone has essentially just declared a law different and always different per their interpretation of it. But I've never heard about it in what we would consider modern times. So it's entirely up in the air on what is going to happen over the next months and years here in Massachusetts. But it certainly is emboldening to the completely nonsensical behavior of Mara Healey and the other anti-gun people in Massachusetts. And it also makes no sense that the Supreme Court would be so glib towards its own decision. And yeah, so that's all I got on that. Oh, look at that. I'm out of gin.
Well, maybe you should make yourself another one.
Maybe not.
Maybe it'll make you feel better.
It's not the first of the day, Aaron. So, do we want to move on to more goddamn madness?
Sure. You know, this is basically your catharsis.
Yeah.
So, have you talked this out enough, or do you need to vent some more?
I think unless there's anything else for you to reflect, I don't feel the need to rant about it.
Okay. So, speaking of people losing their mind, the gun grabbers have managed to grab some guns, but they're all cartoon guns. They have taken away Elmer Fudd's shotgun and Yosemite Sam's pistols. This is their great victory. They have taken away guns from a reboot of a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest hilarity to this is the fact that they took away Elmer Fudd's shotgun. Is that Elmer Fudd is a pejorative that pro-gun people use.
Mm-hmm.
Is the I talk about Mike the Gun Guy Weiser is a prototypical Elmer Fudd character in the fact that he has his guns and thinks that we should ban AR-15s and other things because you can't use them to hunt deer or hunt ducks. Joe Biden talks about you can only have 3 shells in your shotgun when you're hunting ducks, but oh, you can have a 30-round magazine in your AR-15. And then, yeah, it's because we want to protect the ducks. We want there to be ducks for future generations. I'm perfectly comfortable with us wiping criminals off the face of the planet. So the idea that Elmer Fudd, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but according to some of the news stories I've read on this, yeah, oh yeah, there's a damn screenshot on the article linked in the show notes. Elmer Fudd's not going to use a shotgun. He's going to use a scythe because that's so much less brutal than a shotgun.
Yeah, you know, the tool of the Grim Reaper, because for kids.
I mean, just, this is the level of, and also talking about he'll be using, you know, TNT and other stuff, which again, it's Looney Tunes. It's one of those I've grown up watching the Looney Tunes cartoons, and yeah, they use bombs and hammers and stuff like that. Though edge weapons actually tend to be pretty passe as far as cartoon shows go. I mean, for my age, I watched a lot of Ninja Turtles when I was a kid, and they got awful creative on how to make Leonardo useful but not gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because hacking off limbs and impaling people is definitely not something you can easily cartoon away versus the bomb blowing up and then suddenly your clothes are disheveled and you're covered in black soot. But yeah, now Elmer Fudd's going to be using a scythe, and it doesn't say what Yosemite Sam's going to be doing. I mean, it's just, what do you even do? The character is a pair of 6 guns. He levitates mm-hmm. with the damn things. Also, no word about Marvin the Martian.
Oh, with his, I'm going to get the thing wrong, but the XQL-98 Space Modulator.
Yes. I'm not sure if that's one of the big devices, but he's always got a ray gun. And
yeah.
But is that going to be okay? Because Apple switched over the revolver emoji to a ray gun or a squirt gun, so that's okay. Either way, it's just, why are we the bad guys? Like, it's crazy clown world. I'm shifted gears again to crazy clown world Maryland.
Okay.
We are, unless you've got something else to say on Looney Tunes, Aaron.
No, I don't. We've talked it out.
Fair enough. Is so a boy was doing the Zoom call school meeting thing that anybody that has kids at home has become very familiar with, because it seems like that's the universal go-to of meetings. And a boy was in his room, and he is a Boy Scout. And in his room, he has all sorts of Nerf toys, as well as a few BB guns and I don't know if it's a Nerf bow and arrow, but it's a toy bow and arrow. And he has them hung on a pegboard because that's goddamn awesome. Why should mm-hmm. you not treat your guns like that? And I'm trying to remember if it was David was talking about he knew somebody. Someone was mentioning on this show about people that have like actual gun safes for their Nerf guns. There might not be a legitimate gun safe, but like a cabinet with a lock on it or all that, just so the kids can go through those extra motions of gun safety with something that is not an actual gun, that is not a deadly threat, that might, the BB guns, you could definitely do some serious damage if improperly used, but a Nerf gun's pretty darn safe. But yeah, just having them treated like an actual gun, and the fact that they're being hung up on a pegboard and things like that is totally acceptable in my book. Like, that's awesome. And somebody saw that in the Zoom meeting, and
a teacher, not just somebody, the teacher saw it in his room and called the police.
Or it might have been reported to the principal, who also called the police. I think I read up on it, but not important. It's nuts. So yeah, called the police, and the police showed up, and I'm not sure if they had a warrant. They were granted permission to search the child's room by the mother, of which I object to. I would argue definitely on that instance is the, do you have a warrant? Well, if you don't, go get one. Ugh. The fact that, yeah, this kid got his room tossed by the police looking for firearms, and all he had were clearly toys. Mm-hmm. And it's just, again, got to get rid of Elmer Fudd's shotgun because he's a cartoon, and also got to get rid of a kid's BB gun because it looks like a real gun. And then furthermore, actually, it's my understanding that the school is treating this on a similar level to a child bringing a firearm to the physical school building because he was engaging in a classroom activity with firearms or toys or stuff visible in the background.
Right, right. So just to drive this home, he was in his room. He was not on school property. He was in his room in his house, but because it appeared on a screen for a school activity, this is being treated as if he broke federal law, committed a felony, and brought a gun on school campus. Mm-hmm. What the actual fudge?
Yeah. I mean, and then another ad is the, hey, guess what? My daughter does several Zoom meetings with classes every week. And yeah, guess what? Daddy's tramping around and he's carrying a firearm. I carry concealed at home as well as in public. So it's not as blatant, though. Again, what if my daughter moves the camera around a little bit and you can see the table beside my chair in the living room, which happens to have stacks and stacks of gun magazines and books on it. Ugh. Just madness. It's the whole zero tolerance is zero intelligence. And again, nobody had the goddamn common courtesy to just call the mom and say, we saw what we thought was firearms. Does your son have firearms? And it's, I don't know which part of Maryland this is, but Maryland is one of those states where there's there's the Baltimore area, which is essentially kind of a suburb of DC, but the western part of the state is fairly rural. That's where Camp David is. That's where Barack Obama did his famous picture of him shooting the shotgun, and where they've got a trap field. They shoot shotguns out at Camp David in Maryland. And there's lots of duck hunting and heavy hunting culture. And I'm sure there's gun clubs and gun nuts. It's probably very similar to upstate New York in the fact that it is being ruled by overreaching, horrible gun laws, but at the same time has a thriving gun culture. So the idea that a child would have a firearm or access to a firearm or know how to shoot guns is not unreasonable in any place in the country, including Maryland. And so just the idea of Why wouldn't you just pick up the phone? But of course, again, they're treating us as if it appeared in a virtual classroom. So therefore, he brought a gun to school.
Yep.
That's going to be how all these segments are going to end is.
Pretty much.
Oh, moving on to more dumb-dumbness. Which one do you want to tackle next, Aaron?
All right, so I'm going to talk about my current favorite obsession, and it's like watching a soap opera unfold, and that would be the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, or the CHAZ, up in Seattle. And I don't know how much of what's coming out is true versus spin. I don't care. I am just immensely entertained by it. This is my level of reality show, complete with Schadenboner.
Isn't that true? I have been also deeply amused by this. This is something that is not frustrating me or upsetting me at all. So let's give a little recap for anyone who hasn't been following on this. Though honestly speaking, come on, I think, has everyone heard of the CHAZ?
I would think so.
Yeah, is that there was a Black Lives Matter / Antifa protest on Capitol Hill in Seattle, and they went through and they decided. I guess there were some barricades already put up. And they declared them the borders to an autonomous zone. They've essentially, allegedly seceded from the United States. And they have declared this area their territory. And I guess some of it I am upset by in the fact that, number one, this is not just, say, the Capitol building and the police precinct. This is also people's houses. There are residential areas and businesses in this area, and so there are people that are in the zone that are not necessarily part of the demonstrators, and there's any number of shenanigans, including vandalism, being asked to pay tribute and utilizing their utilities and facilities and things like that, which I wonder how much of it is. So there's certainly been talk that there are people that are saying, sure, you guys can come in and use our bathroom, you guys can use our kitchen to cook food and things like that. How much of that is them being supportive of the protest, and how much of that is done under duress because, well, Second Amendment podcast, let's dive into it. They are heavily armed.
Well, they are now. They weren't for a while. So one of the things that I liked about it was that it was almost a perfect microcosm of a failed communist state on fast forward. And so they declared themselves an autonomous zone. And according to reports, within 2 days, they were hungry and begging for food. And the leader, who I believe was a trans lesbian, some dirty laundry came out revealing her to be a sexual abuser, and she stepped down and locked her Twitter feed, and her last tweet sounded a lot like a suicide note, and I hope she didn't kill herself, but it really seemed like, okay, she was done with everything, and they didn't know who was going to lead, and then Roz showed up, mm-hmm. And Roz, well, he basically became a warlord, at least according to some posts. And Roz is a black man, a musician on SoundCloud, an actual blue check on Twitter, and an Airbnb super host. And all this is delightful. And apparently, because he had the guns, he was walking around and enforcing the law. And so I thought it was hilarious that they went from hippie secession to starving communism to armed police state within about 2-3 days. Mm-hmm. I've missed my soap opera over the weekend while I was dealing with the con. I don't know what all's developed. I hope it's amusing.
Well, let me give you something to titter over, Aaron, that in the show notes, Roz of the CHAZ Hands Out Guns is the title of the YouTube video, and it is a YouTube video of Roz walking around. He carries an AK. That is his weapon of choice, and he's got a pretty nice plate carrier that's got the little throat protector thing on it. Kind of looks like Man at Arms from He-Man, speaking also of 80s cartoon shows. And he goes into the back of a Tesla, interestingly enough, and says, "All right, who here is 18 and knows how to use a gun?" And some young dorky kid is like, I do. And like, he's got like a selfie stick in his hand, and he hands it to somebody else. And Roz hands him an AR-15 and says, he's like, "Take the magazine out of it and put it back in." I wonder if that's his competency check or anything, because, well, if it is, he really did do a very good job, because the kid can't figure out how to drop the magazine on an AR-15, but that's good enough. And the most humorous part of this, again, we talked about, I think it was in the last episode, talking about how people are adding politics in, is the when the people were protesting to open up the state, they were horrible and they were going to cause another spike of COVID. But now when it's Black Lives Matter, now we're standing in solidarity with them and possibly not wearing masks while we're doing that. Washington State was one of those places that Michael Bloomberg pushed a referendum through and got them to have Bloomberg style universal background checks. And for a gentleman to be pulling guns out of the back of a Tesla, whether that's his Tesla or somebody else's Tesla is entirely unknown, and handing firearms to people that, as far as I know, he doesn't even know by name, is a felony in the state of Washington. Could be multiple felonies, depending on if the kid is actually 18 or if he's 17 and lying about it.
Yeah. I don't actually know the specifics, and I admit that I should, but I do believe that last year, or maybe the year before, there was a really heinous bill that was passed that did include, you know, the background check for transfers and things like that. And so, yeah, that looks like it's at least one felony.
Yes.
And it was recorded on camera.
Yep. And uploaded on YouTube. So it's there forever. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully it's still there by the time you guys see it when the show is published. But, yeah, it is a dumpster fire. And I guess, I mean, I do find it hilarious, though, at the same time. I have heard that the police are still going to police, fire, and other services. They're coming and picking up the trash in there are still coming in. So it is still part, even though they're calling it an autonomous zone, even though they're not always calling it, the name is changing constantly, and it's probably different when you guys are listening to this show than when we're recording. But they are they're still getting Seattle City services, though also I have heard some reports of, while the police are saying that they're coming in to addressing 911 calls, I have definitely heard reports that they are absolutely not. So I don't know what's true or how that is going, but there's all sorts of humorous stuff. Especially, actually, there was I don't know if you saw this one, Aaron, since you were away this weekend, but somebody was complaining that while they were away from their tent in the Chaz.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh no.
I'm glad to hear your amusement.
It gives me strength there.
Go ahead. Catastrophic common sense failure. So this guy was complaining because he left a computer, a laptop, $400 worth of money and some other things in his tent. And he was complaining that even though he had zipped the tent, someone had stolen it. Someone had stolen his things. And he was shocked. And then he was exhorting people, and I'm not making this up, telling them to lock their tents. So, I'm sure all our listeners are bright and they know this, but just in case there's someone who's listening, you can defeat a tent with a razor blade. You just slice through the fabric and you're in. There's no amount of lock that will secure that.
or actually, this is an even more useful piece of information, is that for those that feel that you can lock the two zippers together on your luggage and be safe and good from thieves, is that all you need to do is press a ballpoint pen into the zipper, and you can pry the zipper teeth apart, and then once they are popped apart, you can unzip them and then re-zip them with the zippers. So the fact of the matter is, you could pick up your locked luggage at the baggage carousel and it would look exactly the same as you had left it, but yet there might be items missing inside. So yeah, zippers can be defeated, and clearly, hey, look, I'm on Weirdbeard's desk. Hey, look, I've got lock picks, number one, on my desk, but two, hey, look at this, a knife. That opens up tents real easy. And then I also have some pens on my desk as well, which I can also get into pens. So yeah, it's hilarious. But also the specific screen cap I saw, and I don't know if it was edited or not, but I'm going to enjoy the humor of it, is that, of course, the bulk of the people that are in the autonomous zone espouse the loves and glory of socialism. And someone pointed out the fact that that your property was reappropriated to the masses. And he pointed out the fact that public property and personal property are different.
Yeah. Communism. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Hilariously, you think this is so new. I actually have a recording of Marshall Dodge. He's a Maine humorist, and talking about, this was probably recorded in the 70s. It might have been the late 60s. Talking about two Mainers and how one of them had gone down to Boston to hear a famous socialist give his give a lecture. And they're talking about, he said, so if you had two hay rakes and I had none, you would give me one. Yeah, that's true. And if you had two cows and I had none, you would give me one. That's right. And if you were to say have two hogs and I had none, you would give me one. He says, you know, I have two hogs.
Oh, dear.
Another main joke, of course, as we talked about growing up in small towns, the statement is, you don't lose your girlfriend, you just lose your turn. And I said that to somebody once, and he's like, yeah, but it's my turn. it's a soap opera, but also, I mean, there are real people stuck in this. Again, there's been talk of both physical assault and sexual assault going on in there. And there's been talk about the police not wanting to go in there's been talk of extortion of businesses, vandalism and other things like that. So it's not all fun and games, and we're not making light of it. But at the same time, evidently they're trying to grow crops in the Chaz, and it's not going well. And that's coming from me, which, please don't look at my garden. My garden is horrible. Now, not only are the local rabbits devouring it, but it didn't look that. I'm glad the rabbits are eating my garden, because I have something else to blame besides my horrible gardening. But I'm doing a little bit better than they are in the Chaz.
Well, I mean, there are two ways to look at this. One is that this is all symbolic, and they don't intend to be there for very long. The other is that they are completely inept, and because what I saw was that they had the plants in like a thin layer of topsoil and then cardboard underneath, and like they expect that will work, and this is where I wonder, it's like, is this satire, or are they really that clueless when people are going, you know, how long does it take for these things to grow? Because we need food. Again, I don't care if it's true or not. It's just entertaining.
Yeah.
And
also to lighten up the mood a little bit, I'll dig it up and put it in the show notes. But Yankee Marshall, who we were actually hanging out with in Arizona, he's in Washington, and he decided to go in there. And Joe Huffman, who appeared on the Gunblog Variety Cast. He also works in Seattle, and he went in there as well. And he states in his blog that he was very cautious going in because he was worried about it being an armed area, and was concerned. He talked about being looking for rooftop snipers and that sort of stuff. And he didn't get too far in there before he realized that, yeah, there's nothing to be worried about. And the same thing with Yankee Marshall. Yankee Marshall essentially referred to it looking at like a giant farmer's market. It was essentially an open air festival. From what he saw, there really wasn't that many. I don't think he actually even got any armed guards or all that. There was just a bunch of young people milling about and having a good time. So, you know what? It's certainly not Escape from New York quite yet, at least at the time of this recording. So I guess we're going to end on this note of the, oh my God, the world losing its damn mind. Is, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at this, because this is at the time of this recording fairly breaking news, but the Rashard Brooks killing.
That was the drunk man who was rousted in Wendy's, and when the police tried to arrest him, he fought back and stole the cop's taser and ran away, and then tried to tase the cop and he was shot.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yep. So, specifically, some important details. This was a 911 call. I still haven't heard anyone who exactly called 911, but I'm going to assume it was somebody working at the Wendy's, because essentially Mr. Brooks was passed out behind the wheel of his car in the takeout lane or the drive-through lane at Wendy's. So essentially, he was in the motorway. There were cars behind him. There were cars in front of him. I assume cars were driving around his car to get to the drive-through window to place and or take their order from the Wendy's. And the vehicle was running, and he was unconscious behind the wheel. And police showed up, pounded on the window, actually opened the door and jiggled him to get him to get awake. Once he was awake, they instructed him to pull out of the line and go into a parking space, of which the video clearly shows he parks half on the grass. And they begin to talk to him about how much he's had to drink. The officer states that he smells booze coming from inside the vehicle. And so they're talking to him. They administer some field sobriety tests, and they declare that he is far too drunk to operate a motor vehicle. And at that point in time, place one cuff on his hand and begin trying to place the cuff on the other, of which he starts fighting. I forgot to mention there was an additional officer. And because the conversation was so cordial, like everybody was behaving themselves, he was not particularly aggressive. The officers were not aggressive. They were just talking to him about what was going on. But both officers were white, and Mr. Brooks is black. And as they're arresting him, he begins to fight. And one of the officers draws his taser, attempts to drive stun him, it looks like. And he ends up, it's really quite a melee. Gets the taser out of one of the officer's hands, is running away. One of the officers shoots him with a taser. It does not work. He fires the taser at the other officer, and shortly thereafter, that officer shoots him. The hits did land in his back, though I would argue that he was pointing the taser at another officer, and so therefore shooting somebody in the back is not as relevant. I mean, you're the Mag 40 graduate, so you could probably speak a little bit more to that.
Well, I'm so not an expert, but if one cop was shooting to defend another cop, then shooting him in the back, yes. So here's what I have learned, and I wish I could find the source, but I'm tired and I don't want to be here. Within the past month, a cop was fired because he used a taser on, I think, some drunk college students, and it was determined that he used deadly lethal force, and I'm not making that term up. I read deadly lethal, which I know is redundant, but I'm pretty sure it said deadly lethal or whatever. And how dare he use this level of force against these students? And so the cop was, I think, fired. All right. So using a taser is considered deadly lethal force. And so we've got another guy who resists arrest, assaults officers, steals police property, then turns around and uses a taser, which is deadly lethal force, against an officer. He was shot, but that's not right either. I just want people to make up their minds.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's like, look, is a taser lethal force or is it not? Because someone needs to not be fired for this.
And not only was the officer that fired the shots, which is different from the officer who lost his taser, the officer that fired the shots was fired for this and is, I believe, being charged with felony crimes. I don't know which ones, but I believe he's being charged for the wrongful death of Mr. Brooks. But also, this is in Atlanta, and the police chief has resigned. I'm not sure why.
And then, of course, don't forget, the Wendy's was burned down.
I was just getting to that. That's where it gets absolutely out of this world, is that then the protesters show up and they burn the Wendy's down because reasons. Ugh. And so it's just, look, I'll close out on this and touch on one other point that I want to touch on, which is, so some of the libertarian people that run in my circles I've heard a lot of people saying that, oh, it's kind of the police's discretion, and maybe that's where racism, they really didn't dive too deep into it, but essentially the police could have just left him alone. Once they got him out of the motorway and into a parking spot, they could have just left him alone. And I mean, I could see how that could play out. I'm not saying that's entirely impossible to do, but this guy was out of his mind drunk. He was blotto. I mean, he was passed out in the drive-thru lane of a Wendy's, which he identified as a Burger King to the officers. That's kind of blotto. And he had gotten there somehow. And furthermore, I assume, and this is an assumption, that it was Wendy's that called 911 and said somebody's obstructing your business, especially in this day and age where so many indoor dining facilities are now closed because of COVID-19. You're blocking the drive-through window of a store. That's literally the only place where they're making money right now, and you're obstructing it. So I would imagine the police would not be allowed to let him stay and sleep off his drunk. To take a little quick sidestep, there have certainly been some cases where people have been arrested for drunk driving because they have gone back to their car after a night of drinking and decided to pop into the driver's seat, crank the seat back, and take a nap and sleep off the booze until they're sober enough to drive home, and have been arrested for drunk driving because while they weren't operating the vehicle, they were in a condition to operate the vehicle, and so therefore they were drunk driving. That's some hot garbage. But when somebody is being called because they are disturbing the peace by their means of being passed out behind the wheel of a running vehicle in a drive-through lane, that's not something where you could just let sleeping dogs lie, if you will. They needed to do something. They couldn't have him move the vehicle off. I heard somebody say they could have called him a cab, and I guess they could have, though that's not very fair to the cab driver, because certainly we've heard enough stories, especially with Uber drivers, the taking blotto drunk people home from the bars and then having someone throw up in their car, and now they have to deal with cleaning out the vomit from their car. So there's all sorts of stuff. And I will say that in a non-racial sense, I have known many a person who has gone out drinking and woken up in the town drunk tank. It is a fairly common occurrence for people who get that level of drunk. So I would assume that the plan for them was to take him to the town drunk tank. And I didn't get the impression that the cops were probably gunning for a major like DUI conviction. I think they were just going to take him under their control for his own protection.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to resist arrest and fight quite violently with the officers. I mean, he was tossing them around. This was not a this was not just a slap fight, and then ended up getting one of the officers' tasers and getting shot for it. And so I'm just upset that this is going to be one of the cases. This is getting the coverage that it gets, because while it's not as cut and dry as some cases, it is certainly murky enough that it's not what you want to hang your hat on. Which leads me to my next point, which is over the last like few weeks, I've been seeing people talking about the issue of police brutality, which I am not belittling. I am certainly very willing to hear about. And honestly speaking, I don't have any direct proof, so I'm not going to make accusatory statements. But if someone is to say to me that there is a problem of racism within police departments, there's a problem of brutality within police departments, I'm listening. I hear you. I think there is some major problems. And definitely when you deal with stuff like qualified immunity and things like that, I mean, it becomes a very, very attractive job to someone who wants to be violent. I'm not saying it only attracts violent people, but it certainly doesn't dissuade them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when you're talking about injustices done, when you go and turn around and add people like Rashard Brooks, when you talk about people like Trayvon Martin, when you talk about people like Michael Brown, when you talk about other people who were doing violent crimes and were doing things that absolutely justified deadly force being used against them, you're losing a whole lot. And you're doing stuff like belittling the names of George Floyd, of Philando Castillo, of Freddie Gray, people who did not deserve to die and were wrongfully killed. Eric Garner is another example. He's a little bit more muddy. I would say that he is the kind of the mirror muddiness of Rashard Brooks, where I think Rashard Brooks really was doing some damage and was putting up what could definitely be argued as deadly force before he was shot. And Eric Garner was, I would argue, not. He was just resisting arrest and was killed for it. And I just, we got to stop hanging our hat on. And I mentioned Trayvon Martin, and I would like to point out the fact that while you will hear a lot of people state that George Zimmerman did not murder Trayvon Martin and that George Zimmerman was justified in the killing of Trayvon Martin, I do not hear, as a matter of fact, I would say I have not heard a single person state that George Zimmerman is a hero, or that even George Zimmerman is a good man. He was just someone who did not murder. He is not a murderer. And that is as far as people are willing to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not canonize him or lionize him. But yet someone like Michael Brown, who was shot, this is per forensic evidence introduced to the courts in the trial, the first shot on him was into his hand, and the blood spatter indicated that his hand was inside the police cruiser at the time of him being shot for the first time. He was, according to the officer's report, was reaching for the officer's firearm, and the officer drew his firearm and fired to protect it, to help retain his firearm and to fend off a threat, an attack. This is not the person that you need to be holding up as a sign that we need to do something about police violence. You lose credibility when you start talking about someone who had done a strong arm robbery, who had beaten the crap out of another person of color to steal cigarettes or cigars, and then attacked an officer who then shot him. And just this insanity needs to end. It's giving credibility. It's drawing attention away from a problem that I think is very real. And I guess that's all I got to say about that.
The only thing I'm going to say, and this is going to circle back to the Wendy's business, is that I think there will be much fewer police who will respond to this sort of thing. Oh, you've got a drunk guy. That's too bad.
Try to wake him up.
Yeah, because what I am seeing now, and I'm not saying that there isn't a problem with cops. There are bad people everywhere. But from what I can see, it looked like it was a good shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of this, people have been fired and a store has been burned down. At this point, if I were a cop, I would be going, yeah, that's no longer a problem. We're not going to even bother to respond to that. Call a tow truck.
Yep. See if you can wake him up, have him move on.
Yeah.
And again, would this be any different towards if he was driving down a public street, if he was passed out at a red light or a green light, you know, and they tried to arrest him and he fought back? Is that not okay also? Do we want to let people that are out of their mind drunk just driving along because, God forbid, they fight back and we have to fight them and it becomes deadly? It's not a good direction to go.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to each and every one of our listeners, and a very special thanks to all our supporters on Patreon. To become a Patreon patron, go to patreon.com/assortedcalibrespodcast to sign up. Patrons get an early release of the podcast, plus bonus content like our hilarious blooper reels, the ACP film tracks, and the ACP mag dump.
Also, please remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe to us on the platform of your choice, and be sure to share with your friends both online and off.
You can get more from me at my blog, which is weirdworlds.com. That's weerdworlds.com. And hear me weekly on Handgun Radio on the Firearms Radio Network.
And you can find me in my bed, which is where I'm going right after we finish recording this.
Thanks to Nate Spencer for our music.
I'm tired and he's a demanding taskmaster. Something's assorted and so's our podcast. Good night.
Good night, Aaron.